Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news. Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell, and today's bonus episode is a deep dive into the newest Real Housewives franchise, The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which will be gracing our screens on Wednesday, November 11th at 10 p.m. Today's episode is blessed with the presence of Mallory Wilkinson, who runs the really amazing Etsy account Real Housepins of OC, which has tons of hilarious pins, stickers, buttons, with all of our favorite Bravo quotes. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
This is really fun because I've been following you forever and I have the June Hannah sticker. My friend did an order a couple weeks ago and then she was like, I know you're a below deck head. Do you want this?
Oh, nice.
I was like, I absolutely do.
Yeah, I keep meaning to branch out and do more stuff and I wanted to do more below deck stuff, but now I feel like there's so much, I don't want to say negativity, but I feel like there's a little sad cloud hanging over below deck. So I'll probably focus on Salt Lake City for a little bit, try and get some merch out for them.
I mean, I think this season's going to be really good. So we right now have two promos. They had the first one, which was kind of lackluster. It's kind of, I think, a little bit difficult for series premieres to kind of promo shows because we don't know the characters. And so in the first one, it was like a little bit of each person, but it wasn't really a lot of drama. And then the extended trailer, which came out, I believe, sometime this week.
Yeah, no, I remember when they announced that it was going to be Salt Lake City. I think everyone thought it might be Chicago or Denver because those are just two major hubs that haven't been touched. But I remember when they said Salt Lake City, it was really shocking. I was like, I'm not sure. Are we really going to watch, you know, a bunch of Mormons try and create drama? But after seeing these promos, I think, I've never been to Utah. I went to high school with a girl that was Mormon, but that's really all I know about Utah and Mormonism. So I really don't have a big idea of what it entails. So I'm really curious to see, and it seems from what they've shown us, it seems like there's going to be a lot of drama. I mean, we all know one of the women is married to her step-grandfather. Like, just that, you could stop right there.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That basically was like, I think the main thing that piqued people's interest, because of course the other women are just, you know, normal, regular women. But when you were reading like the promos on Bravo's website, it like made me have like a full head turn. I'm like, wait, did I read that correctly? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like you were saying, like, I don't really know much about Mormonism. And then when Andy told everybody at BravoCon last year that Salt Lake City was going to be the most recent season, I was kind of shocked like you. I thought like, oh, like Philadelphia, Boston, Seattle, like there's just so many other places. The way that Potomac kind of randomly came on the map, I'm kind of hoping it kind of has the same thing where it's a city that's not as metropolitan as New York or LA or anything. And there's like an underworld of crazies, which I believe we're going to be seeing. There is definitely Mormonism in the show. It does seem like there's like diversity amongst the women where some are ex-Mormons, some are like more modern Mormons, some the girl who's sleeping with her grandpa is Pentecostal, and then one of them converts from Mormonism to Islam, and I think she might be the first Muslim housewife. I was trying to think I'm like, I don't think any other. So
I don't. Oh, what was, no, Peggy wasn't.
Oh yeah. Muslim. What was, no, I don't think so.
I forget what she was, but no, she wasn't Muslim. I could, just because, I mean, in Orange County, I'm sure that would have been made a bigger deal.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah. She's Armenian. I didn't know that. Oh, I forgot that.
So yeah, I think it'll, well, and then I think there's, I'm looking through my notes. I think there's two Jewish women on this show, or maybe just one.
Yeah. So Meredith seems to be from Chicago. Yeah. I don't think she's Mormon. Wow. No,
she's stayed in the Jewish faith, and she's been married for 25 years, which, I mean, that these days it doesn't matter where you're from, to be married longer than 20 years is, I mean, you deserve a medal. But we see in some of the, what's it called, in the two promos that we've seen, it sounds like that her drama and her storyline is going to be, you know, that there's a potential affair going on, or that she and her husband are separating or something. Because from what I saw, I guess Whitney at one point says that Meredith is seeing another man, or it's rumored that she is. And then in one of the promos, it also shows that I guess her husband is like packing his bags and walking mm-hmm. out. And then there's another scene where they're at dinner and he's like, so you wouldn't give me your phone to look through, which it's like, oh, that's never mm-hmm. a good sign.
Definitely not. And I think I heard on some, I was like watching this like YouTube video of a guy talking about the show. And I think it was implied that the husband lives in Chicago, but Meredith is in Salt Lake City. And so, yeah, any sort of massive distance between couples that really isn't like necessary. Like she has a jewelry store in Park City. I'm trying to think if there's anything else on this little bio that would kind of tip well,
and
off.
She's a jewelry designer for like a lot of famous people, and I don't have any names, but at least that's what, you know, she tells us. And if you're selling jewelry to celebrities, you obviously make enough to, you know, you can have your store run from afar.
Yeah, and I can't really see her like clocking in the morning and working like an 8-hour shift.
Exactly.
At the jewelry store.
Exactly. So if you're not living in the same city as your husband, I mean, some people make it work, but I mean, we all saw what happened with Kenya and her husband, and I'm sure there's, mm-hmm. I think there's a few other examples. If you don't live in the same city, oh, Tinsley and Scott, they weren't in the same city, but they, you know, Tinsley obviously moved. But if you're not in the same city, it's just kind of difficult for it to work long-term, especially with a marriage, so.
That was like in Married to Medicine LA, where Dr. Imani's husband was like in Miami or something, and she was in Los Angeles, and it was just clear as day that they weren't together and that neither mm-hmm. of them were going to like move to the other person's city. So at a certain point, it's like, yeah, it's great that you can, I guess, have this companionship over the phone, but don't you want to like live with your partner? Isn't that like half the reason to be with someone?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm lonely, I don't want to be alone. It's like, okay, well then if you're not in the same city, then you're still physically alone.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, something interesting I noticed about Meredith's, and I don't like commenting on women's looks a lot or their bodies, but I feel like in Housewives, I don't want to say you get a pass, but I mean that is a big part of, you know, the way they look is very important to them. But Meredith, I found out online, and I could be wrong because the internet is, you know,
the internet,
not always the most reliable thing. It's said online that Meredith is 50. She looks, she's the oldest oldest cast member of Salt Lake. I was shocked. She looks amazing for 50.
Oh yeah. She's beautiful. Like I'm looking at like more of her casual Insta pics.
Yeah. She looks stunning. So good for her. And she also has college age kids. So I guess now that I put two and two together, that kind of makes sense. Not that you can't have college kids earlier, but I think, you know, when I went to college, my mom was in her 50s. So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, she seems pretty fab. And yeah, I mm-hmm. guess all of these I was like, why does she have all these diamonds? But I guess she owns a jewelry store. I'm like, it tracks.
Right.
It's just kind of fun to be able to like stalk all these new people. I was going through all their Instagrams and I'm like, oh my god, like who is this random new person that is like in our lives? It's kind of strange how these housewives come from just being like normal everyday people and then are really thrown into the lion's den of like a major franchise with like really obsessive fans. And
oh, they have no idea what they're in for. Yeah. Especially if the series is good, like brace yourself.
Sometimes fans could be like a little aggressive. And I see it even on my own page where if I post something of like a picture of some random housewife or ex-housewife, mm-hmm. like people would be savages in the comments. And I'm like, what do you get out of doing that? And I can't imagine what these people get like in their DMs, or like just for just being themselves. It's brutal.
Oh yeah. What's her face? Heather. Heather Gay, one of the new housewives on Salt Lake. She, I guess someone left a comment on her photo saying like, are you a man or something? Or are you a tranny or something to that effect? And she was like, no, I'm not. I'm a woman and I'm a huge supporter of the LGBTQIA community. And I was like, well, there it is. She's my favorite. Because I know a lot of religions are, you know, I don't want to say anti, but they're certainly not very welcoming of that community. And for her to just be like, no, I'm like, A, that was rude. B, here's who I am. And C, I'm a big supporter. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. Those are the facts and you're sticking by them. Good for you.
Yeah, I know. And even like a complete and utter stranger asking someone if they're transgender is just so disgusting, and good for her for clapping back. But I even went onto her Instagram profile and she has like tons of stuff about Black Lives Matter. And so it's nice that she is like an activist. And so she was married to Mormon royalty for 11 years, but has distanced mm-hmm. herself from the church after the divorce. She is a self-proclaimed good Mormon gone bad. And she plays by her own rules. She's a mom of three. She runs a burgeoning med spa and also has a podcast called Beauty Lab and Laser, which I was going to listen to, but then I was like, what do I need? I don't care about like beauty stuff, so I'm not gonna listen. And then when I was searching her on Spotify, I came uh-huh. across a playlist of hers and it had tons of songs from the Book of Mormon soundtrack. And I'm like, this is kind of spot on.
Interesting. Yeah, she seems, well, also what I like most about her, and this is going to go back to, you know, commenting on her body. She is the first housewife I can remember that isn't going to be like a size 2 or 4. She seems like a more full figured woman, which is nice to see because I'm not a size 2, 4, or 6. So it's kind of refreshing to see a normal body on television. Not that the other women don't have normal bodies, but it's nice to see something that more people will be able to relate to, if that makes any sense.
Totally. And I think Emily Simpson from OC was an example of someone who came in as like a woman with like a beautiful figure, but then it ended up becoming like one of her storylines talking about how she's struggling with her weight and Tamara is like forcing her to go on a scale on national television and then like snickering about her weight. And now we see on Instagram that she's like all about working out and eating healthy and like really trying to lose that mm-hmm. weight. And so it's kind of sad that she did feel a certain type of pressure. And of course, like you could lose weight to feel healthy, to be better, like in your day to day, you know, mental clarity, whatever, but also feeling like, oh wow, like I'm the fat girl on the cast. Like that's probably pretty difficult for her.
Especially when you have someone like Tamara being like, okay, well, you're obese, so let's put you on a scale on television. It's like, what is wrong with you?
I forgot she called her
obese. Don't do that to women or anyone.
I don't know. I found it to be so difficult to watch Tamara even handle Shannon's weight gain, because the season that Tamara was losing all that weight for that bodybuilding competition was the same season that Shannon mm-hmm. was gaining all of that weight. And so it was just so like aggressively judgmental. And it's like, people's weight ebb and flow as they're going through things. Shannon was going through like the hardest time of her life. Of course, she's going to rely on food as a crutch.
Right. And it's not like, I mean, it was the hardest time of her life, but, and it's not like David just left and it's not like she got to do this privately. It was on a public scale. And Orange County is, I've only lived here for 5 years. And I mean, it's a lot smaller than you would think. Like people, I mean, my old boss once ran, she was leaving a bar and David Bedore, she didn't know this at the moment, but she backed up her car out of the parking spot and was about to leave the parking lot. And this guy with like salt and pepper hair stumbles out of a bar in front of her car and she has to slam on her brakes. And she calls me and I didn't answer. I was watching a movie. She calls me again and she goes, you'll never guess who I almost just hit with my car. And I was like, that's a really bizarre way to answer the phone. Who did you almost hit? And she was like, David Bedore. I was like, that's a real missed opportunity. You should have kept going. Yeah. Like you would have been doing the world a real solid. Shannon probably would have been real thankful giving you a bowl of lemons. But
100%.
So anyway, Orange County is super small. So like, it's not like David, you know, oh, I have a lover in, you know, New York, I'm off. It's no, he's probably, I don't know where they live, but I'm sure he's only a 10, 15 minute car ride away. So they probably use the same grocery store. So she had to do it on TV and on a public forum. And I just feel bad for her. But that's another thing about back to Salt Lake City. It seems like a lot of these women are divorced. Their marriages don't seem very traditional. They either seem like they're divorced, there's cheating, it doesn't seem like what is portrayed by the Mormon religion of you get married, you have children, you stay married, and like the very white picket fence that is portrayed. And I think that's what's going to be really interesting about this show is it's the modern day Mormon.
Totally. And we have Whitney Rose, who is a descendant of Mormon royalty. She had a normal life until she met her boss, Justin, and the two of them had an affair. He was married, and I believe she was married too. And after they started hooking up, they both decided to leave their spouses, and they decided to get married once they realized she was pregnant. So
that's a lot of scandal in one sentence.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So descendant of Mormon royalty. So probably
Sorry to keep cutting you off, no, but please. What is Mormon royalty? It's mentioned in Heather's profile, Whitney's profile, and I think one of the other women, maybe not, but still, I'm like, is Mormon royalty like the equivalent of like one of those televangelists for like other religions? I'm curious to learn more about what Mormon royalty is. If it's just a wealthy person in the Mormon community, or if it's like someone who's related to, I forget what their founders, I think it's John Smith, I forget, but if it's like a descendant of that person, I'm curious to find out what Mormon royalty is. And if anyone out there listening knows what it is, slide into my DMs because it's bothering me and I need to know.
Okay, based on Reddit, it says generally families of high ranking former or current leaders of the church. So probably a grandson of one of the prophets or 12 apostles or something, blah, blah, blah. So I guess it's like I'm assuming wealthy and a part of the Mormon church. Okay, so I'm seeing here, so Heather was married to someone who is quote unquote Mormon royalty, and his name is Billy Gay III. Billy's uncle is Bob Gay of Huntsman Gay Global Capital, a private equity firm whose founding partners include John Huntsman Sr. and So it just seems like really rich people who then, I'm assuming, give a ton of money to the church.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm... Wait, did you say Huntsman?
Yes, Bob Gay of Huntsman Gay Global Capital.
Interesting. So on some... I just typed in, what does Mormon royalty mean? On some website called Baby Center, in 2012, there was an article saying, I do not think of the Huntsman family as LDS royalty. I mean, yes, we are children of a king, but most people don't. Interesting. So it sounds like it's TBD on, but I mean, you mentioned Huntsman on one website. This is mentioned on another. So that's all I need to think someone's Mormon royalty, because A, I've never heard of them. So you're mentioned on two different websites that were found by two different people on opposite sides of the country. Good. That's royalty enough for me.
Okay, Whitney, descendant of Mormon royalty. She left the church after she fell madly in love with her boss and the two had an affair. Within weeks, they both left their spouses to be with one another and got married when Whitney found out she was pregnant. So yeah, there is definitely a lot to unpack here. So she was having an affair with her boss, major scandal. And then the two found out they were pregnant. So like premarital sex, deciding to have the baby. And so they've been together for 10 years now. They have two kids, Bobby and Brooks. Ooh, Brooks, always a foreshadowing.
Triggering name.
Horrible future. And she owns a skincare line called Iris and Beau. And let's see, she's faced with parenting, her father who is dealing with his own struggles. I don't care about that. So the last sentence of her bio says, when it seems like society is finally beginning to accept her 10-year-old marriage, scandalous rumors about her progressive relationship start to swirl. So I'm wondering what the progressive relationship is. I'm wondering if it means they're open, progressive.
That would be interesting, especially in this community. I've noticed, because I started following her prior to her being announced as a housewife, just because she was a rumored housewife. And I've noticed, I'm pretty sure it's her husband that I'm seeing these in her posts, he seems slightly older. Like, well, and I mean, he was her boss. So he seems, and she's the youngest one of this cast. She's in her 30s. Her husband looks like he's maybe in his 50s or even 60s. So I'm curious to see if that'll be brought up, the age difference, just because, you know, on Beverly Hills, they brought up the age difference between Erica and what is his name? Oh, Mr. Tom. Girardi. They brought up their age. Yeah, Tom. They brought up their age difference. So that should be, I wonder if that'll get brought up, just because, you know, 30 to 50, that is a 20-year age gap.
Yeah, I don't know. 20 years is a lot, especially when he's like her boss. I can imagine that definitely being incredibly scandalous. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, my boyfriend and I have been together almost 10 years, and he was my boss when we met, but we also met at a BevMo, which I think on the East Coast, you guys have something called Binnie's. It's essentially just a liquor warehouse store. But I mean, he's only 4 years my senior, so that's not a big deal. But like 20 years someone's senior, that's a big age gap. When you were 20, your spouse wasn't even born yet. Like, you were starting to drink and they were learning to walk. That's a really big age difference.
And it's just like generational.
So gaps. I hope it gets brought up, just because I do find it fascinating. Go ahead.
I was saying, like, yeah, like that's a big generational gaps between two people.
Oh, that's who else? You saying that just reminded me, Catherine and Thomas. Like, oh, that's yep. a 20-year age gap, or that might have even been more than 20 years.
I mean, and Ashley and Michael in Potomac, where he's like in his 70s and she just turned 30. And she's like, I don't know why he doesn't want to be a dad for like season after season. It's like, well, he's in his 70s and has two kids that he's been neglecting already. Like, the reason you want to have a kid with him is what you should really start unpacking.
Exactly. So it's interesting. And I think the reason Erica and Tom work so well is because they're not, and again, we only see, you know, a small slice of the pie that is their life. But I find it interesting that, you know, they work so well, but they don't spend a lot of time together. They have their lives and then they come together for small moments. And I think their partnership works like that. That's not something that would work for me. I'm someone who needs a lot of attention and I'm super needy. I know this about myself. But I think the problem with Ashley and Michael and Catherine and Thomas are, I mean, there's that iconic scene of Catherine chasing after Thomas. I think, you know, these younger, and I hate to say younger women because that makes, you know, women sound bad, but they're younger and they want more attention. They want to be doing more stuff, where, you know, these older men, they're settling down. They've done all of this stuff. Also, Thomas is a really terrible person. There's that aspect.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, they've done all of that in their life and they want to settle down. And it's kind of not a match, where Erica's like, yeah, I'm going to go shake my ass on stage and, you know, look hot as shit and dance around. And Tom is like, I'm going to go to work. I'll see you for dinner. And it works for them.
It does.
So it'll be interesting to see.
With them, and I don't know, sometimes it frustrates me, that relationship. Like, I feel like she relies on him for certain things. But when she wrote her book and was like, yeah, no, Tom didn't read it. No, Tom wasn't going to go see me in Chicago until the last performance. And there were certain things where I'm like, well, why doesn't he support you? Of course, like, he can bankroll some of these hobbies and these interests and give you that kind of support. But I also do kind of feel like he phones it in a little bit. And granted, yeah, he's in his 80s. So maybe like flying to New York on a whim isn't really always an option, but they could fly private. They have their own jet. And so I always kind of found it frustrating that he didn't support certain things in her life. Cause I felt like he was like, oh, she just wrote a book. Great for her. Let me get back to work. It's like, well, no, she wrote a book and that's something you should be proud of and whatever, like read the first couple paragraphs or something, like pick up the book for
one. You're absolutely right. And I mean, I think I heard on Watch What Crappens, but I think it was that podcast, but Ronnie points out that there is a little bit of a father-daughter relationship there, because we've met Erica's mom and I don't think we ever hear about Erica's dad. And if we have, I'm pretty sure it's not a good relationship or he's not in her life. So I wonder if that's maybe filling the role a little bit, which, I mean, we could go into a whole therapy session on, you know, all of the issues behind that, but it works for them. It might just be a relationship of convenience, but if it works for them, of all of the really young very old relationships on Bravo, I'd say that one's the most successful. If you had to, if I had to pick one to be in, I certainly would not pick Ashley Michael. And I'd rather drop dead than be anywhere near Thomas Ravenel. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Thomas Ravenel just treated Catherine so poorly. And she was just, like, too young to understand what was really happening. And I think it was happening on television. And once they started having kids, I was like, oh, God.
I know.
Oh, no. This is going to only get so much worse. And the fact that he refused to marry you after the first kid and you still decided to have a second kid with him after, like, a drunken reunion taping in New York. Like, it's just poor planning. Come on, Catherine.
So I hope for Salt Lake City they touch on that because, I mean, she's in her 30s, even if he is in his late 40s. Because, I mean, I've seen photos of him. He's a good-looking guy. But again, even if he's in his late 40s, there is more than a 15-year age difference, at least from what I can see. So I think that'll be worth delving into just because, you know, there is that generational gap of, okay, so do you want to go see, like, I don't know, Backstreet Boys reunion tour and you want to go see, like, Jimmy Buffett? Like, what do you guys have in common that you love so much? Or are you both just into, like, vacations and spending money? So I'll be interested to see where that goes with Whitney. Also, in my opinion, I think she is, I think they're all stunning. I think she's the prettiest in my opinion, followed by Lisa. I find her to be stunning.
I did find something on Whitney that says her husband is a higher up this MLM, multi-level marketing scheme called Life Vantage. Where they sell capsules and dietary supplements to, I guess, make you healthy. And, like, these are not cheap. Like, some powders you could put in your smoothies or whatever, $128 monthly. The ultimate stack, $240 monthly. So supposedly he's under investigation for something involving this MLM. So that should be interesting to see on screen as well because... I don't know. I love a takedown of an MLM. And I feel like we haven't had that on Bravo just yet. I think we need that. We deserve that.
Oh, I hope we get that, especially because we were robbed of not Megan King Edmonds. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on Teddy Mellencamp. We were robbed of seeing her business taken down. So I'd like to see an MLM taken down. Even though Teddy didn't have an MLM, what she had was just as bad. So
yeah, these people are just...
Well, and I think it's crazy that, and I don't know if you heard this, but, and I've heard it on a handful of podcasts, so all I need to do is hear it on more than one for me to believe that it's true. But so if you start, if you start a business while you're on The Housewives, Bravo gets a cut of your earnings.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Which is kind of ridiculous. And I think Danielle Saab was saying that on her podcast, like when her book was initially coming out, the deal that she had with Bravo was if she wanted the book to be talked about on the show, she had to give a cut of the residuals and her advance. So Danielle said no. So then Bravo didn't put the book on television and she felt like that really hurt her sales, whereas Teresa was like shilling her book left and right. And so many plot points of the show involved like her at a book signing or people not going to the book signing or her trashing Caroline at a in the foreword of the book. So I definitely think that that's the case. And I randomly worked on a project a couple years ago, and I don't want to say names just because it's probably obvious to people who listen to the show and know where I've worked, mm-hmm. but a housewife right. worked on a project with us, and I was help processing some payments, and it was to like Andy Cohen's LLC. And I remember being like, what the fuck is this? Like, this woman is like very much like not married to Andy Cohen, and that's not her business. And so I thought it was so interesting that the money was going directly there. And I was like, I wonder what's the story behind that. And I never could really figure it out because why can't
or I follow? Wonder if there's like a stipulation where like Andy gets a cut and Bravo gets a cut, or like if he holds the book, you know, when they used to do Watch What Happens Live in studio, he would be like, oh, and you know, so-and-so, their new book is coming out on Tuesday. If he brings it on the show, if he gets a cut, like I wonder how that's all structured out.
Yeah, I don't know. And I feel like now it's just like such a money machine. Like even him bringing Heather Thompson from New York onto Watch What Happens Live to talk about her podcast that's being produced by Evolution Media. It's like all a big cycle. It's like, how can we get more money? Like, how can we get publicity to things that all help Bravo companies, whether it's a partnership with a production company or Heather or whatever, but it's just a money machine. And I thought Evolution was producing this one, but it's actually Shed Media, which produces the New York City Housewives. And I think a couple of months ago, they sold the footage to Shed Media because I think the first few cuts of the show probably weren't as juicy. And so they're like, we need to give this to the masters, like Roni producers.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. That gives me, I mean, everything I've seen so far has given me hope, but that gives me even more hope. So
they know what they're doing over there.
Yeah.
Okay. So who else do we have? We touched on Lisa Barlow a little bit. She kind of reminds me of Kyle Richards. She has like the long black hair. She's born and raised in New York and has been living in Utah for 20 years. She went to Brigham Young with Heather and has been best friends with Meredith for years. So that's always a good thing too, when you have years and years, at least for Lisa and Heather's sake, like decades of friendship.
Yes, more that organic always, relationships.
Yeah, you can actually see like true friendship forming and oftentimes crumbling when you start going on TV with your friends. But Lisa also owns a tequila company, which is rich considering I believe alcohol is forbidden in Mormonism, so that tracks.
I reached out to Lisa and I asked her because Vita tequila is supposed to be in all Total Wines, and I looked at my Total Wine and it was like the nearest location that has it is 200 miles away. I was like, okay, so that's not near. Thank you. And so I reached out to someone who was out in Arizona and I was like, hey, like what city are you in? And I looked up all the Total Wines there and couldn't find it. So I reached out to her and I was like, hey, like, sorry to bother you. Super excited for the show. Do you know if your tequila is in California? And she was like, yeah, it is. And I was like, okay, I don't want to like call you a liar because I don't want to like get the housewife smackdown, but it's not. And she was like, oh, they just put in a huge order. It should be there. And I keep checking and it's not. And I'm like, I will get my hands on it somehow. Like I wanted to get my hands on Vanderpump vodka and I eventually got it. But like, which by the way, it's terrible, but I
was like,
yeah, I know. And so are Lisa's wines, except for the rosé. The rosé is okay, but man, her Chardonnay and Cab are just really just, they taste like Pruno. It's pretty awful. But it's like, girl, I don't see them in Orange County. And Orange County is a housewife hub. Like you would think if anywhere, you're trying to get it into at least the cities where there are housewife franchises. Come on. So if anyone out there listening knows where it is, slide into my DMs. I want to try it. I'm always curious when like people who don't, like when George Clooney came out with tequila, I was like, what are you doing? Like, I think you're just slapping your name on this. You know nothing about tequila. So I'm very curious to see, and I'm no connoisseur by.
Yeah, I definitely would be down to try this tequila. I don't know if she's ever going to have a skinny girl-esque brand, but she could be trying. And yeah, I think she also has a marketing company. Yeah, she also owns a marketing company. So good for her. And she's a New Yorker. So I think I might automatically kind of like her energy.
Yeah. And I feel like New Yorkers, I'm always intimidated by New Yorkers because just the thought of living in New York, like gives me anxiety. The city that never sleeps, just that saying, I'm like, what do you mean you don't sleep? Like, I know people obviously sleep, but I'm just like, that go, go, go lifestyle, I can't do it. It intimidates the hell out of me. So, and based on what I've seen, like her clips and stuff, I think she's going to bring a real, like, not Bethany energy, but I think she is going to bring like a Bethany Kyle. Like, I don't think she's going to be like the spitfire. I think she's going to be maybe the keep you guys in check, make sure you're not, you know, throwing tiki torches in someone's backyard type of energy, which is good. We need that.
You do need that kind of energy, especially when you have somewhat loud people on the show, which brings us to Jen Shaw, who seems like she's going to be very fun. She kind of reminds me of Jennifer Aiden a little bit from New Jersey, like really loud and comes in very hot. Mm-hmm. So she is a Tongan and Hawaiian who grew up in Salt Lake City. She felt like she often stuck out in her traditionally white Mormon world. When she learned about the historical mistreatment of Black people in the Mormon religion, she converted from Mormonism to Islam. She's a mom of two. Let's see. I do like this. She knows she's the best host in Utah. So I love when people make it seem like they're the best host in the world. Like, I think Vanderpump would always try to do that. And then Kyle tried to be like, I'm the best host. I host the best parties. It's like, okay, honey, as long as there's booze and food, it's a party.
Exactly. That's me. I'm like, there's something to eat and something to drink and I'm invited. You're a great host. Phenomenal. You did great.
She also says with an extravagant personality and sharp tongue, she can go from 0 to 100 really quickly, but she usually comes back with apologies and love. And I love how she probably wrote this bio herself that's on the Bravo website. So she's like, I'm preemptively telling people I will fly off the handle, but I do come back the next day with an apology and a hug.
I kind of feel like she's going to be a combo of what's her face? I feel like the saying things and apologizing, that's very Ramona. Mm-hmm. And being a spitfire, I feel like she's gonna have some Kelly Dodd energy minus the like MAGA stuff, because I think, I don't know if it was her or one of the other Salt Lake City housewives, but one of them recently just came out and was like, I don't support, or I'm like, I'm not voting for Trump, blah blah blah. So I think she's gonna be a combo of like Ramona and Kelly, but maybe a little more positive than those two.
Hopefully. Well, she is the one where we see her call out Mary Cosby. She's like, well, you fucking hooked up with your grandpa. So this is going to be on the table, which is good, because you can't bury that story.
No.
Like, that needs to be discussed. And in the tradition of housewives, like, that'll never be something that won't be probably thrown in her face, you know, like that's a kind of like an easy constant dig at her. But I mean, we'll see. There was like one scene in the like extended trailer where it was her and Heather and I think Whitney at some spa, and they were all like in bathtubs that were like in like placed into like a mountain, and Jen is just like splashing the water at them, and I'm like, I don't know what instigated this fight, but I really like seeing them just in rogue bathtubs. Jen does seem like someone who will like throw the drama out into the open, which is sometimes nice and kind of like pours the gasoline on it.
Exactly. And that's where I get that, you know, or maybe even like a little bit of Giselle where it's like, like pulling the pin on the grenade and walking away. Like, oh, well, I just brought it to the table. We all know about it. Why aren't we talking about it? It's like, okay, just because we all know something doesn't mean we need to talk about it. I mean, for housewives, that logic doesn't apply, but for us normal people, it's like, no, we don't do that. We sweep it under the rug and we never speak about it. So I'm excited for her, because I think she's gonna, like you said, she's gonna bring it to the table, and she, in the moment, she doesn't really care. If it hurts your feelings, she'll apologize later, which is good, because that'll make us wanna watch it, and we need that. Otherwise, we're gonna wind up with, you know, something like Beverly Hills, where you bring out one thing and then it just gets dragged out for the whole season. And it's like, it winds up feeling like a chore. And this, nothing about Salt Lake City so far feels like a chore. I can't wait for it. So.
Well, it's also nice to just get new housewives. It's like new people, new families, new dynamics. And I think with Dallas, I really enjoyed the first few seasons, and same with Potomac. And I think so many viewers are slow to get on the bandwagon for whatever reason, because it's like, oh, it's too much. It's too much. I'm like, bring it on. Who cares? If they suck, they suck. They won't get another season. But even the Real Housewives of DC, which was the only one season wonder of the franchise, that only ended because there was like political scandal involved, not because the cast wasn't great and the show wasn't amazing and fascinating to watch. And so I always think they'll get a couple seasons, but when I was reading and doing research on this, I came across a Reddit thread and people were saying, like, what do you think is going to be the next show that gets cut? And everybody was like, Dallas, Dallas, Dallas. And I'm like, what? Like, I kind of enjoy Dallas. I enjoy Dallas more than I enjoy OC at this rate.
Oh, absolutely. Like, and I think people are just saying or Dallas because of everything with Leanne, but it's like, and as you know, there've been a lot of podcasts that have covered it. There's been a lot of articles and a lot of Instagram, you know, posts. And these past few months, we've all realized that, you know, Bravo does have a pretty big problem with their, I mean, these housewives are employees, with their employees not acting right and showing their true colors. And that does kind of show, I mean, they are people who exist in this world who are like them. And that's part of the narrative of, and I think we're going to see a lot of that in Orange County this season, of not everyone's going to get along, especially politically, especially when it comes to wearing masks, especially with a lot of sensitive subjects these days. So I think that's why people think Dallas is going to get axed, but it's like, no, there are racist people out in the world. And I mean, that's why Leanne got let go, but I don't think they're going to can the entire series because otherwise, besides that, it's a pretty good series. So I think it was just because of Leanne. And if we were to fire every housewife who did something problematic, we'd probably be left with three or four housewives. So I just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And I think that's one of the things that is kind of interesting when you watch these shows, because you're not really supposed to watch these shows and think like, wow, Leanne Locken is my idol. As a viewer, like, I've never looked to housewives to be like my moral compasses, but last season, or I guess in the beginning of Dallas, you saw Leanne really being like this maven in the charity world, and she was so beloved by everybody in the charity world. And then slowly but surely, like season after season, you see her like losing that identity and really leaning into being a housewife. And then the comments that she was making to Carrie were just so aggressive and showed this side of her where it's like, oh, you don't care about people. Like, you don't care about people. You're doing this charity world to make yourself feel better and pat yourself on the back. Great, you can support LGBTQ communities, and that's amazing. But that doesn't mean you aren't being incredibly racist and like also not owning up to it ever. Like that, it was just like, that was really difficult to watch at the reunion where you're like, okay, you have a chance where you can come back and say, I was incredibly ignorant. I'm incredibly sorry that I said that. And I can now move forward in my life and not make that mistake again and be more mindful and not say microaggressions towards you or towards other people. But she just doubled down. And it was just so, it was so gross.
Ugh. Oh, 100%. And that's actually part of my problem. Not my problem. I've always liked Lisa Vanderpump, but recently, you know, with keeping, and I'm sure that it's got to be difficult when you run a restaurant where the show is based on a restaurant, and then you have problematic employees that aren't just employees of the restaurant, they're employees of Bravo. So I'm sure it's difficult, but it's like Jax and Brittany are clearly, you know, they clearly have their feelings about the LGBTQ community, and Lisa continues to champion them and wish them well, and occasionally will wag her finger at Jax, but then, you know, she doesn't, she needs to pick a lane, because it's like, okay, you act like you're this hero during Pride, but then you also, you know, one of your biggest stars was going to have this horribly homophobic person marry him, and he knew about it, and thank goodness for people like Ariana and Tom who brought it up, and yeah, they were a little annoying about it, but, you know, when it comes to stuff like that, you need to be annoying about it, you need to keep poking the bear until the bear realizes why it's being poked. Like, what you're doing is completely rude and disregarding someone's life and beliefs. So that's, I mean, we could talk for 6 hours on problematic housewives. And I'm sure it sounds like, I guess, is, so Jen called Mary out for problematic things she said about Black people, correct?
Yeah, so Jen, so obviously,
I'm sure
left,
we're gonna have some problematic stuff with Mary there. So I mean, every franchise has one. Some franchises like OC have a lot of them, but that's, you know, that's unfortunately the society we live in. Not everyone does get along and respect everyone else. So, but I mean, that's, like you said, that's what we're here to see. If we wanted wholesome family programming, we'd turn to, you know, Modern Family or The Big Bang Theory. There's a reason we're not watching those.
Exactly. And also, sometimes it's interesting to see how ignorant people can really be. As someone who, yeah, like I don't watch these shows to learn from their behavior, but I oftentimes learn what I don't want to do or what I don't want to say or how I don't want to react to things. I think it'll be difficult watching OC this season. I mean, we all know how Kelly is going to be behaving, but also, you know, where I look at these shows and I'm like, well, yeah, I don't learn from these people. You know, I don't need Kelly Dodd to tell me not to wear a mask. But some impressionable people might watch that and completely agree and then feel validated in those points and thus being even more unwilling to wear masks and do these things. And you don't want Kelly Dodd to plant a bad seed in your head. So I understand that kind of struggle that I think Bravo is having. And Andy like pretty much clapped back to her on his radio show this past week and was like, hey, people should not be listening to Kelly Dodd for medical advice. Like, she is not the person you go to when you're trying to figure out how to navigate a pandemic. You know, don't go to her. And I think it's going to be an ugly season for her.
I wouldn't go to Kelly for advice on anything regarding a pandemic or other. Like, where should I go to eat in Orange County? Like, no, that's what Yelp is for. Like, Kelly is just not someone I would ever. And it's sad because I used to really like her. She was never my favorite housewife because I felt like on her first season where, you know, she came on the show and dropped the C word, season one, like, I don't mind using that word, but to do it season one on a housewife show, it came off very try hard. So I'm hoping we don't get too much of that in Salt Lake City. It seems like these women are pretty true to themselves. Granted, we've only seen maybe 4 combined minutes of who they are, but I'm hoping we get a lot of, as much as we can, authenticity and not a lot of, you know, I'm going to come in and drop the C-bomb and act like the crazy one. It's like, okay, is that who you are? Or is that who you're trying to be?
First season housewives definitely are either trepidatious and they don't really have the confidence to be their full selves, or they are so much themselves that they come off as crazy. And so it'll be interesting to kind of see how everybody kind of begins and starts just portraying themselves, because as people get more and more comfortable with being on camera, you begin to self-produce. And that's why sometimes for season one of shows are so good. You know, Vanderpump Rules, for an example, like, they were just a bunch of young kids who wanted to be models and actors and who got really lucky that they were all crazy and, you know, the drama was just constant. And I don't feel like they even really recognized that the cameras were there or what was actually going to happen after this stuff was being filmed and edited together. Mm-hmm. So it'll definitely be eye-opening for all of them. And it's interesting to see the progression between season one and season two. But I mean, on that note, we jump to the last and final housewife of Salt Lake City, who is Mary Cosby. Her bio says, with a penchant for God, couture, and only the finest champagne, Mary is a Pentecostal first lady who inherited her family's empire of churches, restaurants, and more. The caveat in taking over the family business was that she married her late grandmother's second husband, Robert Cosby Sr. They have been married for 20 years. They have a teenage son together. And she says, small but mighty and always dressed to the nines, her unconventional past has made her guarded, and she quickly finds herself on shaky grounds with some of the ladies. Gulp.
That, there's just so much to unpack, especially the, like, so I grew up not knowing my grandfather. I only knew my step-grandfather. So it was one of those things where I was like, so that's what they mean. They mean you would marry the man I always knew was my grandpa. I was like, that's so, like, I cannot believe at some point in her life, I'm interested to meet all these women, but I'm most interested to meet her because at some point in her life, she looked in the mirror and said, okay, let's do that. Yeah, that's fine. It's like, no, under no circumstance. And I understand they're not blood related. So, you know, it's not incest, but it's still like, it's right on the border. I'm sorry. Okay. So your DNA doesn't match up, but it's still like, no, he slept with your grandma. And now you're going to sleep. Like, no, stop it.
The whole thing is creepy. So, okay. So Mary's grandma ended up starting this big Pentecostal church. So Okay, so at 42 years old, she meets Robert Cosby, so Mary's husband. Mm-hmm. So he was 22 years younger than her. So he is more of an age that Mary's dad could technically be.
Yeah.
They founded the church together, and they ended up marrying one another when Mary was 24. So that's like, it's just so disgusting. It's so disgusting. And the death of Mama, like the Pentecostal big minister, she randomly died from a heart attack in January 1997. And supposedly she was in perfect health, never had any signs of being sick. And I guess there was some shadiness between the family, assuming that this husband may have done something, allegedly done something to kill her in a way. And then they tried to get the body exhumed.
Wow. Okay. I missed that part. Oh, yeah. That's even crazier. Well, and also the part where, so she was 24 when she made this choice. I could understand if she was like maybe in her 30s and she's like, you know what? Things aren't working out for me. This is just, it's not conventional, but it's just what I'm going to do. But when, if someone told me at 24, like, okay, here's an option for you, I'd slap that person. I'd be like, this is an option for me, never. But you're so young at 20, your brain isn't even done developing at 24. For her to make that choice at 24, again, cannot wait to meet Mary.
Well, that's kind of why I think this had been some sort of like predatory thing that might have been happening for a good amount of time before. You don't just decide one day that you're going to marry your grandpa. This had to have been...
There's something underlying
there. Something happening for a minute. And even for that grandfather to stomach that choice is so twisted and disgusting. And even like him being so young and, you know, being what, 20 years younger than his wife, and then she dies and marries the girl. It just, I can't understand it. And I'm interested in hearing what she has to say about everything. And now that we hear that, oh, she had to marry him so that she could maintain status in the church and still have the money that comes from the church and the restaurants and whatnot, just seems like that's not a good enough reason. You know, you're young, if you have your whole life to maybe make some of your own money, and if you really are just relying on men, you can maybe try to find another rich guy, but
that isn't just your step-grandfather.
Yeah, it just seems like the two of them had some sort of relationship prior to the grandma dying. And the fact that the grandma's death was kind of shady in the first place gives me some sick inclination that this dude was like, I really want to be with this young girl. And the only way that this can happen is to have my wife die. It's, the whole thing is so backwards. Even like having this conversation, I'm like, what am I saying? Like, I can't believe this is a housewife's background. We've obviously never seen anything like this before.
Well, also, so, I mean, she's the granddaughter slash wife, which is not something I hope to ever say again. But then there's the grandfather. But I'm interested to see, because, so they have my notes. So they have one teenage son. So let's say, even if he's 13, teenagers these days, I mean, kids are on the internet pretty young these days. I'm sure he knows what's going on, but I'm also curious what her dad thinks, or her mom, whoever's dad, whoever, whatever side of the family, paternal or maternal, whatever. I'm curious what her parents, both of them, think. It doesn't even matter which one is the stepchild. Like, what does the rest of the family think? Because I'm worried they're going to be like, you know, that's, some Mormons have a lot of wives. Some of them marry within the family. It's like, whoa, no, 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 no. I've heard about the lot of wives. The, what you're doing is a big glaring question mark. That's not something any religion does. So I'll be curious to see. And I mean, yes, it gets brought up in the preview as kind of, you know, not accusatory, but in a negative light. But I'm very curious if any of them are going to be like, it's fucking gross. Like there's, I have a million thoughts running through my head because it's so unheard of. And again, they're not blood related, but it's still the, I mean, my grandfather growing up, like I said, he was my step grandfather, but I treated him like my grandfather because, you know, you don't have to be blood to be family, but this is taking that too far.
Completely. Well, I'm looking here on a list on tvovermind.com, and the fifth point, it's 10 things you didn't know about Mary. So number five says her family doesn't like her husband. In fact, they have accused him so many times of being responsible for his ex-wife's death that Mary's grandmother's body was actually exhumed so that they could see if there was any foul play that involved her heart failure. The autopsy spoke otherwise, but it was a situation that didn't work well for anybody. So I can imagine they were very upset. I don't know if it was Mary's mom or dad who was the child of Mama, the wife of Robert, but I can't see them being happy. Obviously, like, ew, like, so what is Mary to her mother? Her stepmom? Is she her mom's stepmom?
Oh God.
Oh God.
I didn't even put that together. Oh.
I'm gonna have to wash my mouth out with soap after this episode because this is some disgusting shit.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's funny. If you just read the sentence, you're like, oh, wow, that's wild. But if you delve into, okay, there might be foul play, and she's her mother's stepmom. Like, the more you delve into it, and a body was exhumed, it starts to get, it's almost beyond what I'm watching Housewives. I'm not watching Law & Order SVU. This is kind of a mash of the two that, I have been binging Law & Order SVU recently. I don't want them to come together, and I don't want them to come together like this. So I'm excited to meet all of them, especially Heather, because again, for so long I've been watching Housewives and I see these little size 2 or size 0, and especially living in Orange County, where I'm sure it's not just Orange County, but I see it a lot here where if, you know, you're not a size 0 or 2, you kind of don't matter here. And Heather, you know, is full figured. She's stunning. She's a single mom of three. So I think I'm most excited to meet her for positive reasons. And then for not negative, but for like drama and juicy and questionable, do we need a 51-50 reasons? I'm most excited to meet Mary.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. And also if you go to Mary's Instagram, she has lots of like strange videos that kind of give me Britney Spears adjacent where she's like walking into frames and living rooms and just like twirling and looking around and pretending like it's paparazzi. And even her behavior on Instagram is kind of seems like a little wonky and unhinged. So I'm excited to see Mary's behavior. I agree with that. And then in terms of the person I'm most interested in, I think I'm going to be interested in watching Whitney with her whole situation with the older husband, potentially a vow renewal, which we all know is the kiss of death for relationships. And I don't know, I'm interested in seeing her situation, but I mean, I'm kind of down for all of it. I'm just excited to get a new crop of people, new stories, and yeah, a little bit of incest sprinkled into the show. I didn't know we needed it, but it definitely has created a big buzz around this upcoming series premiere.
Watch next season on Beverly Hills. Kyle's going to be like, I'm thinking of leaving my husband and marrying my uncle. It's like, no, Kyle, don't do that. Stop. Just because your series is boring doesn't mean you need to do this. I don't like you, but please don't do this.
Well, there's definitely moments where, I mean, this is maybe a little creepy too, but her oldest daughter, Farah, will like be sitting on Mauricio's lap and they'll both be like in bathing suits. And I'll see photos of them. I'm like, are you two dating? Like this looks oddly comfortable. Like where I would like never sit on my dad's lap in a bathing suit.
That's no, weird. And there have been one or two posts. I think there was one, it was Farah's birthday, where he posted, and for a second I was like, or no, maybe it was his birthday. I forget. It was a post one of them put up, and I was like, oh, is this her boyfriend? And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's her father. Like, they have moments where, and I'm sure I'm sure it just looks that way. Yeah. They don't ever, we haven't ever seen or heard anything like that, but there have been photos where I'm always like, maybe just leave some room for the Holy Spirit, okay? Yeah. Just knock it off, okay? Back up.
Leave some room for the Holy Spirit. That is so funny. Well, on that note, Mallory, today's episode, I think, is kind of concluded. Thank you so much for coming on and breaking down the Salt Lake City house size with me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm so excited I got to talk to someone about this because I'm so looking forward to it. And I think it's just a little over, you know, 4 or 5 weeks until we have these housewives back. We have Orange County coming back soon, but that's a real TBD. But I think for the most part, I think everyone is really excited to have a new city and a really unexpected city to look forward to. So thank you so much for having me on and just letting me chat about it.
It was my pleasure. So where can people find your awesome Etsy shop? And talk a little bit about that, because we didn't really talk up front. How did you start it?
So I woke up one morning and I went on Instagram first thing, as you know, I shouldn't be doing. And I really, it's funny, I beat this dead horse, but it's really true. Kay from Gold Half Moon Co., she had I was following her at the time and I didn't have my Real House Pins account yet. And she posted, she had one, I think the Sheena pin, one of her first pins. And I was like, and I think the caption said something to the effect of, if anyone has any ideas. And I just slid into her DMs and I was like, this. And I sent her like 12 ideas. She was like, you should just start an Etsy shop. And I was like, LOL, like, no, I know. And she was like, it's not that hard. And she sent me links. She sent me like articles. She was like, if you need any help, just ask. And literally, like, I think that was on a Friday. And then on Monday, I set up my Bravo account. And 2 weeks later, I ordered pins. And the problem is, so you can find me on Instagram at Real House Pins OC. And the problem is, so I ordered the pins. And then 2 weeks later, COVID happened. And my pins come from China. So they took 3 months to get here. The factory shut down. And I was like, this sucks. Like, I don't have anything to sell right now. So that's why I started doing stickers and magnets, because I was like, well, those are made in America. Like, I can get those lickety split. So if you go onto my Etsy page, realhousepinsoc.etsy.com, I have postcards now because, you know, we need to support the US Postal Service. I have ornaments. I have ornament gift sets for the holidays coming up. They also don't have to be for the holidays. Someone said they're going to put a string through the little hole and hang it from their rearview mirror. I was like, well, it doesn't smell, but I mean, whatever. You can still look at it. I have buttons. I have pins. I have stickers. I have magnets. Anyone wants to slide into my DMs and give me, you know, things that they want to see in the future, I'm always open to that. But yeah, so that's where you can find me. And like I said, thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it.
Of course, this is so fun. And I'll put like all of your info in the bio. So if you guys just want to check the show notes, you'll be able to be linked to all of the things.
Awesome.
Alrighty, well, have a great day. Enjoy your pool. Oh my gosh, I'm so envious. Ugh.
I'm just excited to go home finally.
Yes. Alrighty. Well, have a good day and have a great rest of the weekend.
You too.
Alrighty. Bye.
Bye.